Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to the In For A Penny podcast.
I'm so excited to be here.
Glad you are. I'll introduce you in a minute.
Okay.
I'm Mark Schoffman, a freelance personal finance journalist, and I'm joined by my financial planner friend.
Oh, friend. Financial planner friend.
Joshua Gerstler. He runs an advisory business called The Orchard Practice. If you would like to know a bit more about us, you can check me out at www.cavendishcontent.com and Josh at www.topfs.co.uk.
Each episode, we aim to give our perspective on the world of finance and money and discuss some of the issues that crop up in business as well as everyday life. We hope that you'll learn something from our podcast as well as have some fun too.
So thank you for downloading this episode, everyone. And thanks for all the positive feedback. I wanted to read out our latest review, which has come via iTunes.
Okay.
Which is one of the many ways to listen. You can also do so via Spotify and Podbean and probably some other places that I can't think of right now.
Yeah, I've got an app on my Samsung that I listen on. Shall I tell you what it's called?
Castbox.
Correct. I didn't even have to get it out of my pocket. There Thank you.
Glad that's what you were getting out of your pocket. So this review is from someone whose name I have not written on the script.
You have?
Have I?
Settle. Because I know who Settle is. He's a lovely guy that works at Openwork.
Ah, so Openwork is the network you are an advisor within.
Correct.
So he has very kindly listened and he has said, do you want to read it?
Yeah, I'll read it because I like Settle, lovely guy. Easy listening, right length, good banter, and the subject matter is pitched at the right level. Very much like the split into two segments too.
Okay.
Thank you, Settle.
Well, we're going to slightly disappoint Settle for this episode.
We are, aren't we? Because we're not splitting it into two today, are we?
We're doing something a little bit different.
I think it's quite exciting, this episode.
Are you excited? Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I've got a question for you. What would you do if you came into a windfall, into a significant amount of money? How would you cope?
How would I cope with it?
Yeah. What would you do?
Well, I think there's two different questions. How would I cope and what would I do? I think I would cope all right, seeing as I know how to be sensible with money. What would I do is a different question.
Okay. Well, we're going to come back to what you do or what you say people should do a little bit later in the program, because I recently met the stars behind a BAFTA award-winning BBC Three program.
Don't rub it in that I wasn't invited. I went to meet them.
It's called People Just Do Nothing.
Okay.
It's a show about...
Well, I was whilst you were
meeting. Yeah, you were doing nothing. It's a show about some boys in their mid-30s who are still into garage music and run their own pirate radio station. I'm told it's garage and not garage.
Garage. Yeah. Ew,
so
garage.
I was obviously never into it.
Is it Nigel Farage or Nigel Farage?
Good question. He's not in this bit. So they are relatively young actors, but they've come into a lot of success and critical accolade. And with that, they've also gained some newfound wealth, a little bit of money. So I met them to discuss how they cope with money matters. Just a quick warning, there is some strong and bad language in this clip that some children and others may find offensive. So we apologise in advance. People Just Do Nothing is a BAFTA award-winning BBC Three comedy about a pirate radio station called Corrupt FM. It's led by MC Grinder with sidekick DJ Beats, and they broadcast from a council flat of their mate Steve's gran and are managed by wheeler dealer Chabuddy G. The show has built a cult following and has a strong social media presence. It's because of this that they've teamed up with Santander Bank to inform young people about how to avoid scams with a series of mini films about the importance of protecting passwords, avoiding fake websites, and not giving anyone your bank details. I went to meet them at the launch.
Okay. I don't have. Are we doing this in character?
No, characters.
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll still be twins.
Mark Schoffman.
Yeah. So let's talk about what I thought was weird when I came in. What I thought you guys would pick up on was you come down and there's a big Wi-Fi sign. So sign into the Wi-Fi and it's called Get Corrupted.
Yeah.
Don't get corrupted.
Yeah. And I automatically signed into that, and then about 10 minutes later, I thought, well, that's the ultimate scam. Because you think
so. Hack your money.
And I thought there'd be a thing saying this many people.
It was a test.
Just no signal.
Like Darren Brown or some shit.
Yeah.
Do you smoke weed? Because you're quite paranoid.
Yeah, you're.
I just interject at this point for my mum or wife who is listening, or my kids possibly. I don't smoke weed anymore.
I should make up a fake email. That's also the ultimate.
You got it. I wrote Alan Avocado.
Good.
Nice.
That's his go-to scam address.
Yeah. Alan Avocado. Yeah. At what though?
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com. Yeah. That poor Alan Avocado.
I know, poor Alan.
He's getting loads of emails. Yeah.
Thanks for coming
coming to our event.
That was Alan Mustafa, who plays MC Grindr, giving some interesting tips on how to get around the Wi-Fi sign-in systems. So banter out of the way. Who says I can't do banter? I started by asking what it's like to go from earning nothing to suddenly be doing quite well. Obviously, these guys have won a BAFTA now, so they're probably coming into a bit of money. I was keen to know how they're managing that. This is particularly relevant for Hugo Chegwin, who plays DJ Beats, as he also has another successful career as a music producer and has worked with big names such as Emily Sandé, so has experience going from earning relatively modest amounts to suddenly coming into quite a lot and having quite large sums to deal with.
Honestly, the person that I used to work with is very tight, and actually it didn't work in our favour, because when you earn over a certain amount of money, you have to spend a certain amount for your taxes to use against what you pay out for your taxes. I know nothing about money, but we didn't spend enough. So now I try and spend as much as I can.
That is Asim Chowdhury, who plays Chipadi G in the show, questioning Hugo's approach. And he's pretty right. Spending as much as you can may not be the best advice, but Steve Stamp, who plays druggie Stephen Green in the show, actually has some better tips. He spoke about being used to earning around 25, 26 grand a year, and when he started bringing more home, he just always kept to the budget that he was used to when he was earning less.
Having the experience of not having massive amounts of money is quite useful to get used to, like, what you actually need to live on.
I guess
for us, getting good accounting as well.
How do you sort of save? What do you do to save?
Just stick it in an ISA and then in savings accounts. And
I'm pretty good at that. I'll literally take 50% of every check
of every
that
pound.
I get. Everything that goes into my account, and put it into a saving. All
the
tax and that. And then I'll put pretty much all of it into a normal, say, an ISA.
Yeah.
And then take like a little grand to live on for the month or whatever, into the current account.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. And then I find that way you see what you're spending, and it can make you a bit more nervous about spending, because you're having to move money around,
so
rather than it just being there and you spend.
You live off
it,
a grand a month.
Huh? Well, whatever it is, I don't know.
That's what I get sent to me. I have my money, I don't know how much I got.
He's bad with saving. So
his, I think he doesn't know how much he's got.
Yeah.
I don't know.
His accountant will take it all and then give it to him.
That's good. Yeah.
How far off am I?
Yeah, I basically said, give me a warning and I'm spending too much.
But how have you guys come to know what to do? Because I speak to a lot of friends who will be like, oh, I've got this money. Do I put it in an ISA or do I put it in this thing that Google's telling me to do?
Well, do you know what? It's an age thing. I think if we started earning loads at the age of 18, 19, then we might spunk it up the wall a bit more, because we wouldn't be like, oh, we need to save, because we need to get a fucking mortgage, or we need to invest in something eventually, otherwise we'll be fucked and we'll see nothing from this money. But actually, we don't know that much, because we haven't had a financial advisor. We haven't invested it into anything.
Yeah.
You know, ISA is more something by word of mouth. I might go, Steve, what have you done with it? Or you might, you know, it's just
when we started
getting
tax returns, we all started talking about that.
Yeah, we started getting advice from each other.
Playing back on
and nicely
figuring that out for ourselves.
Yeah, nicely you can only put a certain amount in. Yeah. But with investing and stuff, we haven't done any of that apart from property.
Yeah, and it's all just word of mouth. Like, my older brother is quite good with money, so I speak to him about stuff and get his advice.
I would literally ask one of these. Like, I haven't got, like, both my parents are foreign and I don't really know that much about that. So it'd be word of mouth, but we still don't. We never got educated in the system about any of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With 33-year-old men that are asking people for advice.
Now they teach stuff like that.
In secondary school, isn't it?
Yeah, we didn't get
that. I wish they did that, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I
have no idea. But I mean, I suppose at least we've got someone to blame, because they probably would have taught it and we wouldn't have listened anyway.
Yeah.
it's just, you can Google something, but then there's about 70 million different opinions, so it's like, what do you do? Do you know what I mean?
Where'd you get your property investment advice from?
God.
Go on.
Yeah. I actually have I used a mortgage.
Yeah, I had a good mortgage guy actually.
Yeah.
Like a mortgage advisor.
Yeah.
He did all my mortgage shit for me.
That's what you had. Did you have the same thing?
I went to one, yeah, and
just
sort of got their opinion.
Yeah, but we've never had anyone that's told us where to invest our money apart from that, basically.
Well, our accountant is also a financial
advisor. Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, but she's also like, I feel like she deals with big, like large amounts of money, so.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Our money's
like,
not.
I guess there's, once you earn loads, then you start getting approached either from your bank or your account.
Coots.
But like,
Coots. Yeah. Is that a dream?
But I'm not there yet, so I don't know.
About what's Coots?
Even Barclays I called up and they're like, yeah, we can't really help you with that unless you earn all this.
It's the Queen's Bank.
Yeah.
Even my bank, I called up.
I'm pretty much the same.
Even when I called up my bank, like, I mean, not to disclose how much I earn, but they were like, yeah, well, you're not earning that much to be able to get a financial advisor from us.
But like, how important do you think financial literacy is in? Like, do you think there needs to be more of that?
Financial
education and making people more
literate?
I think so. Like,
it's hard to take on board, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't know how much.
It's easy when you're worrying and thinking, fuck, maybe we should, but then like, on a day-to-day basis, it really depends on the type of person. I'm not the type of person that would want to constantly check financial news every day.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think we are all clouded in a lot of capitalism bullshit, and I think we're becoming more and more like America. And empathy is not really there at the moment with the Tories and everything. I think we should be taught, but also it shouldn't be taught that it's the most important thing. Like, you don't need that much money, you know what I mean? Like, and the emphasis on money and being
successful. I thought you meant what you should do with your money or how to keep your money.
Well, it is that, but... I think that kind of mentality of getting money, like, you know, I don't think we're nowhere near as bad as
this
America.
Is a rich guy saying, fuck money, basically.
But I kind of, like, I don't treat money like a thing where I need to get money. I've never been, like, a money chaser.
Yeah. Is that easy to
say? No. I've never put value in money like that.
Everything we do is about the work. And
yeah,
the money
it's about being
follows.
Successful, being proud of what you do, and then the money comes. But I think there is a lot of emphasis on, like, money and... like capitalism,
it is like, and we're lucky we're not complete idiots, but like, it's like, yeah, that's sweet, and that's exactly where I'm at, but it's also then learning what to do.
Manage it properly.
Manage it,
of course,
yeah.
And it's like, when you get money, some people go mad.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I first got, like, I don't know, even when I, like, a few years ago, when I got my first show outside of people just nothing, it wasn't like that much, but at the same time, it made me quit my job, and I was like, fuck. Like, I can go shopping, I kind of like, can buy this, I can buy that. I went a bit mad, you know what I mean? It was like, a lump sum is like...
If you get 10 grand...
Yeah, that's what it was, like 10 grand. And I was like, fuck me!
And you've never had 10 grand before. It's like, I can do anything.
Yeah,
I'm rich forever.
I remember getting a bursary from uni, was like 2.5 grand. And I went mental.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally 2-3 days, it was gone.
I'm literally a millionaire.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but obviously more advice. Education is very important.
I think, to be fair, there is a lot of information available online. Like, if you do dig around and stuff.
That's the thing, but it's kind of pretty much there's a lot. Everything I tried to learn about, I can't remember what I was trying to work out the other day. But anyway, like, it's like everything you do. There's so many different options, which is a good thing. But then it's also quite intimidating and quite like, fuck. Well, who's right? Do you know what I mean? And then you have to go to your mates, and your mates might not know. And
yeah.
So who do you guys use when you're making like your decisions on where to put your savings or?
Oh, fuck knows.
Accountant or bank. I've got like a
first port of call would be
a bank advisor guy, whatever. I don't know what his title is.
But
those are probably the ones that I would sort of. If I had like a big lump that I wanted to sort of invest in something, I would ask them. Like my older brother is good with money, so I ask him stuff. And then it's kind of like mates, really. Just sort of.
People have done it before, like experience and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like I went to school with a guy who played for Chelsea, and he was obviously making ridiculous money. And recently, he's become bankrupt.
Could I put myself on a stock market, or like, could Corrupt be on the stock market?
Put yourself on the market.
But serious question: could Corrupt FM be on the stock market, and people could invest in the brand of Corrupt?
If your production company listed, I don't know, it's veering into financial advice.
You'd probably have to be a registered company or some.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hello.
So you just need an IPA. Right. I've got an IPA.
Oh, no. That's a joke there from Asim Chowdhury about IPOs, which are initial public offerings of stock market listings, and IPAs, which is...
How often do you think kind of doing these sorts of videos on social media will be? Do you think you're reaching the right people, or do you need a bigger reach? Would being able to do something like this on Netflix or...
I think social media is such a massive, like, way for people to learn about stuff and to spread messages now. It's kind of, it's almost like dangerously important now, social media, like where you see politicians are getting elected because they're like, because they have loads of followers and they're
playing Trump, essentially. David Trump.
So I think it's, I think it's a good thing to use those platforms to promote messages that could help young people, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if they put the adverts onto Netflix or whatever, then fair enough.
Netflix doesn't have adverts.
Yeah.
That's what you pay.
But if Netflix want to pay us to do a series that could inspire people, then we'll do that for the right price. To put that in the article as well.
Fine. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No, sorry, thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers.
That was the cast behind People Just Do Nothing.
Seemed like nice people.
Yeah.
Just normal people.
It was weird because I try not to get starstruck when I meet people, but I did find myself a little bit
nervous. Just relax when you're with me. You don't need to feel like that.
But also because their characters are the characters they play are kind of act like rude boys. So remember when we were young, they were always the kind of guys who spoke strangely, wore kind of weird clothes and acted
like Ali G.
Like Ali G, exactly.
Yeah.
So they spoke in that sort of way, and it was kind of weird to approach them. When I first went up and started talking to them, I shook one of their hands, but I did it in a really weird, not a normal handshake you do at a business conference. It sort of turned into, you know, where you do the hand and then you do grip the wrist. Well, they called it a rapper's handshake.
Yeah, okay.
So
did that go down well?
Not really.
No, they were like, what is this
weird
guy doing?
Yeah.
As long as you had fun.
I did have fun. So, what did you think? So, that was a group of young lads suddenly come into money. Hugo there, one of his suggestions was to spend as much as you can. What do you think of that approach?
I'm not sure whether that is the most sensible approach to spend as much as you, but that is a common problem when people first come into money who aren't used to it or who haven't planned for it. They think, wow, I've got all this money. I need to suddenly, why don't I spend it? Why don't I enjoy it? And that's partly right. You know, if you've got money, you should enjoy it. That's what it's there for. But at the same time, you need to make sure you plan sensibly for the future and put some away as well.
One of the things I found was interesting was they said a lot of their money advice they get is from friends, people who've done it before. I sort of missed an opportunity to suggest they use a financial advisor and a decent one such as The Orchard Practice.
Thank you. But you did miss that, correct?
Yes, I did.
But, yeah, I think a lot of people will turn to friends and family first for advice, which is natural. And so you should. But you can't beat professional expert help from any financial advisor, not just The Orchard Practice, from anyone out there. One of the guys, you'll tell me who it was, one of the guys said he speaks to his bank,
yes,
which isn't a bad idea. But the only problem with a bank is that they sometimes they're not necessarily financial advisors. They are just selling you their own products. So you have to be careful dealing with a bank, although it's better than doing nothing. You're probably better off speaking to a financial advisor. One of the guys speaks to his older brother. I don't know what his older brother does, but hopefully he's giving him good, sensible advice. And someone said that they called a bank, and the bank said
he didn't earn enough
to help them, which I thought was a bit of a shame. But different people, different advisors and banks operate in different areas of the market. So some people only want to deal with mega, mega rich people. Some people want to deal with people just starting out. So they're within their rights to say, sorry, you're not the client for us.
What did you think about what they're saying about more, having more financial education when you're younger? Would that help?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think the earlier that people start to understand money, the better decisions people will make in the long run, because often it is younger people that get themselves into problems with debt. Students, it could be people get taking out credit cards. So if you learn at school how to manage money, that's a great thing.
How easy do you think it is to make the wrong decisions?
Very easy. Like everything in life, if you don't have the right knowledge and the right information, you may make the wrong decision. That's why having an advisor a professional. They can steer you in the right direction, help you make sensible financial decisions.
I guess that's important when you're young as well, because if you're young and you suddenly come into a lot of money, like they're talking about suddenly earning £10,000 for a show, which I've obviously never got. But there were times when, if I was young...
Are you not getting paid for this?
I'm not getting paid for this. But say, if I was young, I'd have a part-time job and I was sort of still living at home, so I wasn't paying rent or anything. And I'd get my weekly salary, so maybe it was, I don't know, £100 or so, a few hundred pounds. And you suddenly do have all this money, and then you just kind of go out and you spend it on a pair of Reebok Classics. And then when I look back and I think, well, they're a bit naff nowadays, so is that a waste in hindsight?
Do they still fit?
Probably not.
No, there you go. Yeah. But look, you have to enjoy yourself. So there's nothing to say you can't spend money on things that you like, but not at the expense of your future self. You need to put money away for your future self. And you thank yourself down the line.
I think I would have thanked myself, because that's probably £50 on a pair of trainers or PlayStation games as well. I used to be quite into computer games, and now I never play them anymore.
Yeah, but that was your thing at the time. So I'm saying quite the opposite. If there's things you like and you enjoy, spend money on it. Just make sure that it's not going to stop you doing the things you want to do in the future as well.
So what do you say to people who are unsure how to make the first steps towards saving and investing?
Take a big breath. That's it. And the most important thing is regular discipline.
That so you did say breathe out.
Regular discipline savings is the most important thing. So set up a standing order or a direct debit to put some money away into a separate account to your current account. That's the first thing to do. Whether you can afford to do £5 a month, £5,000 a month, or £50,000 a month, just get in that habit of saving regularly. That's the way to start.
Where do you put that money?
But if you're just starting with just want to get in that habit, I'd just put it in a savings account with your bank. Then when you are ready and you're feeling that the time is right, make an appointment with a financial advisor, sit down, discuss your goals and objectives, and your financial advisor will help you come up with a proper financial plan.
How important do you think financial advice is?
Very. If I didn't think it was important, I wouldn't do it. What we do for our clients is so valuable, to give them that financial security and financial comfort and to be able to help people achieve their life goals is so rewarding.
Some people obviously don't get financial advice, but if you're working, and most people will be automatically put into a pension, which could be a lot of people's first foray into a financial product, but then they could just think, oh, well, I've got this pension now, I don't need to do anything else.
Some people do think that, which is naive to think that. It's great that they got automatically enrolled into a pension, and it's a great start, but you need to look at it properly and explore it further.
Is it possible to have too much money? That was one of the points that Asim Chowdhury raised.
Yeah, he got a bit political, didn't he?
Yeah.
He wasn't too happy with America. Can you have too much money? You know what? I haven't had that problem myself. I don't think you can have too much money. It's how you use it that's important. You can be just about getting by and using your money very sensibly. You can have millions and millions and be wasting it. A lot of these very wealthy people give a lot of money to charity. So I don't think you can have too much. It's more important. You can mismanage it and misuse it, I think, is more an issue there. It was interesting that one of the gentlemen said that they go online to get their financial advice. So just Google it and you get 70,000 or 70 million answers to your question, which is a big problem, not just in finance, but just in everything in life. And nowadays it's something called decision paralysis, where there's so much information out there, you're just paralyzed from making any type of decision.
It's a good word, two words.
I didn't make it up, but it is a good phrase. I think if you need advice, speak to a friend who, a trusted friend who has seek help of a professional and go and see that professional.
Okay. One of the reasons I was at this event with these guys was they are launching a campaign for Santander on combating scams. Have you ever been scammed?
No. You?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you asked. So, well, I learned an interesting lesson in protecting your documents. This was when I was a younger child, a younger boy.
When you were a young girl, yeah.
A young boy. Probably in my early 20s, I was living in Hackney, East London.
Hackney?
In Hackney with my now wife, then...
Then ex-wife?
And girlfriend, I guess she was. And we were renting out one of the rooms in the house to a boy who came along. He gave us references and everything, but then a few days, possibly weeks later, I found my driving license and debit card had disappeared.
What about your girlfriend?
She was still there.
Okay.
She was still there. And... load of charges started coming up on my account for
like, interesting.
For DVDs and a whole load of electrical goods. And so this guy had stolen my documents, stolen my identity. He became Mark Schoffman.
Oh, he sounds like a lovely guy.
Yeah, so, and then, so obviously that took a lot of work with credit reference agencies.
All got sorted?
Eventually, but it's a lot of hassle. We had to check the CCTV of the electronics store he walked into, and it showed him with kind of beanie hat on. Because yeah. Obviously he doesn't look anything like me. I'm unique.
I don't know the guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, so he had a beanie hat on, and he just came in and showed my ID, which I have a picture of my driving license, which isn't in a beanie hat.
Right.
Anything, but he still got away with that. Yeah, it was a very stressful time.
But all got your money back, got sorted.
Got my money back and got sorted.
Good.
Do you want me to sign off, Finn?
Yeah, do it.
Okay. That's all we've got time for in this episode. Thank you for listening. But please remember, anything discussed in this programme should not be viewed as financial advice. If you do need support, though, please contact me or visit the Orchard Practice at www.topfs.co.uk. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter at InForAPennyPod1.
And at Mark Schoffman.
At Mark Schoffman.
At Josh Gerstler.
Very good. Do feel free to leave any feedback, post any financial issues you'd like us to cover.
Speaking of feedback,
oh, yeah.
You know we got that feedback from SLG12345.
Yeah.
So I've had a few messages from people asking if it was indeed Mrs. Gerstler. It turns out it was.
Was it?
So she has listened to the show.
That's good to know.
I know in another episode there was... He said something about she's got to pat me on the back for something.
Yeah.
She hasn't patted me on the back yet, so she needs to... We'll see if she ever listens to that episode.
Do update us next time.
I will do.
But for now...
Thank you for being...
In for a penny.